256.
Praise the Savior.
Before our souls, that our eyes might be fixed on those things that are heavenly, that our mind might be set on those things that are above, where the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is at thy right hand, hidden thee, till that day of his revealing to this world. And we pray that this little hour before us might be a profitable time in thy word. And we know the scripture is profitable, as we've read. We pray that we might receive that ministry of the Spirit of God from the precious word of God into our hearts through the conscience, that it might have its effect, its formative effect in our lives. And we know thou art working the Spirit of Christ in each believer to conform us to the image of thy beloved Son. Thou dost know our needs, so great, so many, and yet in one portion of Scripture, in the mouth of two or three, as thou wouldst purpose to speak to us from the Word, thou canst meet those needs. So we look to thee, that thou wilt come in for us, Lord Jesus, for thou art the one in the midst, two or three gathered to thy precious name. Thou art sufficient, Lord Jesus, and no sufficiency of ourselves, and so we look to thee. All we think of how thou feed the multitudes, and thou art able to spread a table in the wilderness, feed thy people, and so we look to thee. Our God, our Father, we ask this in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
I have a question before I speak. Is there a Mr. Smith here? Mrs. Smith? I'm looking for a Mr. Smith and a Mrs. Smith. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 19. Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. We need Mr. Smith and Mrs. Smith. If we don't have a Mr. Smith or a Mrs. Smith, we're in trouble. We don't have spears. This was the work of the Philistines. You know, the Philistines in Scripture speaks of the energy of man in the things of God. When man is active in the things of God, he robs us of the things of God. We read these verses in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's go back there for a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. In that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. For many of us here, many of you children, young people, can be said of you, from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures. If I say, what's this book? It's the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Bible. What else can you call it? The Word of God. You know this is the Word of God. This is Holy Scripture. This is the Bible. But do you know it? Do you read it? Do you grow in the knowledge, grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through its pages? We know that this is the source. And we need to go to the source and drink of it and make it our own. So Timothy, he knew that from a child, and not only did he know that these were the scriptures and holy letters from God, he knew what was in them. So he could preach the word. He had a sword. He was a smith. Timothy Smith. He knew it was the Word of God, and he studied it, he read it, he believed it, he applied it in his life, and he could preach it. Now, earlier on in the book of Genesis, the Philistine had been busy in the days of Isaac. Genesis chapter 26, verse 18. That was in the land of the Philistines, in Gerar, the valley of Gerar. Verse 18, Genesis 26, 18. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. Why did he have to dig the wells again? Because for the Philistines had stopped them after the death. They were busy filling up those wells. So Isaac couldn't dwell in the land and be refreshed. No, it's not enough to have Christian parents or Christian ancestors or to have be the fifth generation in the assembly. We have to get these things for ourselves. And so Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. Now, someone a century ago picked up this book and read through his pages and found the truth of God by the teaching of the Spirit of God. Well, 100 years later, if you and I dig in the same well, we're going to find the same thing. The Word hasn't changed. We're going to call the things by the same names. That's what they are, from the Word of God. That's where we need to get the truth that we hold and that we believe and apply in our lives and preach, from the Word of God. So the Philistine had been busy to plug up those wells. And the enemy is busy just getting us not to read the Word of God. or to have someone read it for us and tell us what it means. You know, I was in the Catholic Church when I was a young man, and in the Catholic Church, you were not allowed to read this book. We'll read it for you and tell you what it means. Do you want me to read this book for you and tell you what it means? Don't do that. You be a smith. You read it for yourself and put it to the test. And keep at it, and then you have a shining sword. A sharp sword you can use on yourself, first of all, and you can use for the glory of the Lord. Well, they dug some other wells there, verse 19, and Isaac's servant digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, "The water is ours." And he called the name of the well Ezek, because they strove with him. Means contention there in the margin. You know, in Protestantism, they receive the truth through the Word of God. God brought out the truth from His Word and gave it to certain men, and then developed into people seceding from the Catholic Church, who refused to have people look into the Scriptures, who persecuted those, even put to death those that were living out those things that they received from God Himself through His Word. But there was contention there. You know, today you might meet up with believers, people who really believe in the Lord Jesus. And when you start talking about the wonderful truth of Scripture, there's contention. That was in those days. Not anymore. Yes, but that was written in those days. You know, it was tradition then. They just undo the Word of God. They will contend. They will have contention with the truth of God. So what did Isaac do? He didn't strive. They digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitna, or hatred. My brother was speaking before of the rejection of the cross of Christ. And you know, if we want to be faithful to the Word of God and apply it in our lives and speak truthfully to others, as we either are questions or we feel responsibility to witness to them, we can't compromise what God has given us. We need to be faithful. And it might provoke hatred. But I've enjoyed the thought that he removed himself from thence, verse 22, and he digged another well. Wouldn't give up on that water. I want that water that comes from down there. That's what I need. And he dug another well. And for that, they strove not. They said, "You can have that one." And he called the name of it Rehoboth, which means space or room. And he said, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." You know, dear brothers and sisters, we've come together this weekend. What was on the agenda? What did the brethren have for the topic of the reading meeting? What were we going to talk about? What were the hymns that were going to be given out this morning? Who was going to speak in the open meeting? None of that had been ordered. But if we leave room for the application of what we have in this book, the leading of the Spirit of God, it's going to happen. We're going to have room to be together and to behave together in our personal lives and collectively in accordance with this Word, with this book. We don't have to disobey the Word of God to go on in the truth. That's what man would have you do. So if you want to be faithful today, you have to have things the way we teach it in our seminaries, in our universities, in our schools. You know, some believers in the Lord Jesus, they believe in evolution. And this book doesn't teach evolution. This book, which is the Word of God, teaches creation. A powerful God who produces a universe nobody can measure. Just with His Word. Do you believe that? That God is so powerful, He could create a measureless universe that we cannot explore. It's beyond the numbers we can take in our minds. The God of the Bible, He created this with His Word. Well, this is the God of my book, of my Bible. This is the God of the universe, the same God who hung on that cross, with spit in his face, back scourged, crown of thorns, object of mockery and derision. That's who's in this book, you know. That's the one that's presented in this book from cover to cover. The Almighty God, creator of the universe, mocked and spit upon and crucified so he could have us with him forever. May we value, dear ones, the liberty God has given us. The Lord Jesus says, the truth shall make you free. What freedom we've enjoyed this weekend. And I trust we continue to enjoy. Freedom to be here, not out in the world. Freedom to be here to enjoy the things of God in simplicity, in liberty, with room for one another. You know, when we read this book, we need to leave room for each other too. In any measure, we're all ignorant. There are things we do not know. Perhaps there are things that we understand differently from our brethren. But if we get our thoughts and our understanding from what we read in this book, we have to leave room for that. Leave room for one another. That we can continue on together and not want to coerce brethren or others to believe like me or like you or like brethren even. I trust we'd be disobeying the Word of God if we forced people to adopt what we believe to be the truth of God. We can preach it and apply it. We can't force it upon people. You have to see it for yourself. And it's a wonderful thing, you know, when a young man, a young woman grows up in the things of the Lord, and these things that perhaps that they've heard from mom and dad in the assembly, they make it their own. They become smiths. It becomes the Word of God in their souls, in their hearts, in their lives, the things that they believe, their convictions. And when someone comes up with a question, with something that's disturbing, they probably might not go back right to mom and dad or an older brother. They say, the Word of God says this, and this is what's true. They can answer for themselves. What a wonderful thing, you know. Well, I don't know if you are a smith or not. Nobody's called Mr. Smith, but may the Lord be able to call us each one smiths. And that we know that these scriptures that we have in our hands can make us wise, and that they will make us wise if we read them and spend time with them. Just a few more thoughts before I leave room for someone else. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 1. Song of Solomon 3, verse 1. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. You love the Lord Jesus? Oh, I know the Lord is my Savior. I love the Lord Jesus, but I don't feel him close. Seems that my relationship with him isn't as warm or dynamic or real as I'd like it to be. Well, she was on her bed, you know, resting. We spoke yesterday of not putting our light under the bed or the bushel. She was in her bed, resting. But then it says, I will rise now and go about the city, in the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. You know, it says in my French Bible, it says, she went a little further. After she had that interview with the guard, she went a little further, and she found him. I say, have you found him? You find him in the morning, or do you stay in bed till you got to rush to school or to work? Or do you get up and you go through the streets and listen to the guards and go a little further till you find him? If you seek him with all your heart, he's going to let you find him. If you stay in bed, you might not find them. You know, we're saved by grace and kept by grace, and the Lord's going to come and take us all home. It's wonderful. Yet, we cannot say that we have no responsibility. We have responsibilities as believers. And the tone of your life and mine depends not only on the grace of God, but how you apply those things that you know. Somebody could be a smith and have pieces of steel lying all around his shop there, but not one sword. Why is that? He didn't heat up the stove. He didn't put the wind in there. He didn't pick up the steel. Didn't heat it up. Didn't spend energy of making that into what it's supposed to be. So God has given us His Word not only that we would know it's the Word of God. So it would be a reality in our lives, be applied in our lives. To seek Him early and then find Him. And you know, it's interesting, you just go on in that third chapter. There's another bed there. It's Solomon's bed, verse 7. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh, because of fear in the night. You know, if it was a treasure chest with diamonds and gold and all sorts of things, you say, all these mighty men of Israel with their sword, they're guarding that treasure chest. Well, they're all around Solomon's bed. You know, the Lord Jesus, He can rest now. I know He's still working, but in that aspect of His work, He's resting now. I have finished the work that Thou gavest me to do. Is that work finished, the work of salvation? The religious man in you and me and the Philistine would say, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. It says here, you got to do this, you got to do that. They'll find verses in here. There are other verses too, you know, in here. And these men around David's, around Solomon's bed, they watched over where Solomon rested. Are you equipped to watch over the rest of the Lord Jesus in His finished work? It's all around us, you know. Attacks on His person, attacks on His work. The Word of God answers to all of these attacks plainly, to give you confidence and say, no, there is nothing to add to the work of the Lord Jesus on the cross for the salvation of anyone who's going to be in heaven forever. Nothing to be added. We're talking about that at lunchtime, and sometimes, you know, we say we're saved by faith, and it's wonderful. That's what it says. Saved by grace, through faith, and that's a gift of God. Sometimes we can make faith the object. And preach that faith. You have to be strong in faith and, you know, and powerful in faith. So, and if you were like that, you could look in the mirror in the morning and say, I'm a mighty man of God. And that's pride, you know. May God give you and I to be like these men who can. Exercise at war around a bit. Because there's a spiritual war going on. It's against you and it's against the Lord Jesus and His finished work. And it's in having this word before us and knowing about it that we can answer these things. So dear ones, just a few thoughts I had on my heart concerning that verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Knowing the scriptures that can make thee wise unto salvation. How the enemy of our souls through the energy of man would block up these wells of refreshment. Yet God in His grace has put it in our hands. You have it in your hand this very moment. I have 3 of them right here. I have 1 French, 1 English, 1 Spanish. And if you went across the world, it's in Italian, German. It's available to be read and understood and applied. Are you a smith? You have a sword? And I have a little question for you, dear ones. If you have a sword, or if you had a sword in your hand, what else did the enemy present to you that you put that aside and pick something else up instead. The times that we live in, the enemy is bombarding the minds of men with lies and false teaching and all sorts of things, and seducing them with violence and corruption. And you and I are not immune to that. It's all around us. May God give us, dear ones, to hold to that sword till the Lord Jesus comes.
A mí no me gusta hablar cuando es por medio de traducción porque es posible que yo haga dormir los hermanos.
I don't exactly like to speak with translation because maybe I put you all to sleep.
Pero quiero leer algunos versículos de consolación a la familia.
But I want to read some verses of consolation to the family.
Que le ha faltado su ser querido en este día.
Who lost one of their loved ones these days.
Quiero leer Salmo 116, versículo 15.
Psalm 116, verse 15.
Estimada es en los ojos de Jehová la muerte de sus santos.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
Qué bueno, hermano, que la muerte de los santos es estimada en los ojos de Jehová.
How blessed it is that the death of his saints is precious in the sight of the Lord.
No así la muerte de los incrédulos.
That's not the way it is for the unconverted.
No es agradable ante los ojos de Jehová.
It is not pleasant to the eyes of God.
Sabemos, como dice un versículo en Romano 14, versículos 7 y 8 y 9.
In Romans 14, verse 7, 8, 9.
Porque ninguno de nosotros vive para sí y ninguno muere para sí, pues si vivimos para el Señor vivimos, y si morimos para el Señor morimos, así pues, sea que vivamos o que muramos, del Señor somos. Que
for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's.
Versículo 9, porque Cristo para esto murió y resucitó y volvió a vivir, para ser Señor de sí y de los muertos como de los vivos.
Verse 9, to this end Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be the Lord both of the dead and living.
Es una bendición que si vivimos para el Señor vivimos.
It is a blessing if we live for the Lord we live.
Y si morimos para el Señor morimos.
And if we die for the Lord we die.
Después que hemos creído en el Señor Jesucristo.
After we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ,
tenemos una relación con el Señor,
we have a relation with the Lord Jesus Christ,
inquebrantable,
that is not broken.
Segunda Corintios 5,
2 Corinthians 5,
versículo 1,
verse 1,
porque sabemos que si nuestra morada terrestre, este tabernáculo se deshiciere, tenemos de Dios un edificio, una casa no hecha de manos, eterna en los cielos.
For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Esto habla de la posición que tenemos en Cristo Jesús.
This speaks of the position we have in Jesus Christ.
Como hemos dicho anteriormente, que si vivimos para el Señor vivimos y si morimos para el Señor morimos.
As we said before, if we live for the Lord we live, and if we die we, for the Lord we die.
Qué bendición que hemos tenido mucha abundancia de la palabra de Dios en estos días.
What a blessing it has been to have abundance of the Word of God in these days.
Ciertamente que a veces estamos un poco descuidados.
Sometimes we are not paying much attention.
Y también desanimados.
And sometimes we are discouraged.
Versículo 16 de capítulo 4.
Verse 16 of chapter 4.
Por tanto, no desmayamos antes, aunque este nuestro hombre exterior se va desgastando, el interior empero se renueva de día en día.
For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day.
Cada día que pasa nosotros en este mundo,
each day that passes in this world,
el cuerpo tiende a desgastar.
Our bodies are wasting away.
Físicamente.
Physically.
Pero podemos ir creciendo espiritualmente.
But we can grow spiritually.
Por eso dice la palabra, por tanto, no desmayamos.
For that reason, the word says, we faint not.
Sabía el Espíritu Santo que podíamos desmayar por cualquier cosa.
The Spirit of God knows that we might get discouraged for some reason.
Pero tenemos la advertencia por la palabra de Dios.
But we have this this exhortation from the Word of God.
Una vez en Bolivia, nosotros visitamos al hermano Lino Bueno.
One time in Bolivia, we were visiting Brother Lino Bueno.
Para consolarle con la palabra de Dios.
To comfort him with the Word of God.
Él tenía 99 años.
He was 99 years old.
¿Sabe qué pasó?
You know what happened?
Que en vez de nosotros consolar a él, él nos consoló a nosotros.
Instead of him, comforting him, he comforted us.
Con la palabra de Dios.
With the Word of God.
También quiero leer Romanos 8:18.
Also I want to read in Romans 8:18.
Pues tengo por cierto que lo que en este tiempo se padece no ha de comparar con la gloria venidera que en nosotros ha de ser manifestada.
For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us.
En los días que estamos viviendo hay mucha dolencia y enfermedades y se sufre de cualquier manera.
In the days that we're living, there is much sickness, and we, in one way or another, suffer.
Todo permitido por el Señor.
All permitted by the Lord.
Pero no es de comparar con la gloria venidera que nosotros ha de ser manifestada.
But it's nothing to compare with the glory that will be manifested in us.
Es una consolación para nosotros este versículo.
That is a consolation for us.
Y versículo 28 dice, y sabemos que a lo que a Dios aman todas las cosas le ayudan a bien.
And verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
No dice que todas las cosas son buenas.
Doesn't say that all things are good.
Pero en alguna manera nos ayudan a bien.
But in some way or another, they help us.
Hablábamos ayer del apóstol Pablo.
Yesterday we were talking about the apostle Paul.
Que un hermano dijo que había caído preso dos veces.
A brother said that he was a prisoner twice.
La primera vez cayó preso andando la cosa del Señor.
The first time he was a prisoner, he was in the things of the Lord, walking in the things of the Lord.
Y a medianoche él y Sila cantaban himnos a Dios.
And he sang hymns to God.
La segunda vez que cayó preso fue en desobediencia al Espíritu Santo.
The second time he was prisoner, it was because he disobeyed the direction of the Holy Spirit.
No cantó.
And he didn't sing.
No tenía espíritu para cantar.
He didn't have the spirit to sing.
A veces viene algo que el Señor permite a nosotros.
Sometimes things happen in our lives that the Lord permits.
Y no nos desanima.
And we don't get discouraged.
A veces somos fortalecidos.
And we are encouraged.
Pero cuando he hecho algo que no ha sido conforme a la voluntad del Señor, entonces sufro fuertemente.
But if we do something that is not the will of the Lord, then we suffer.
San Mateo 14.
Matthew 14.
Versículo 26.
Verse 26.
Y los discípulos viéndole andar sobre el mar, se turbaron diciendo, un fantasma, y dieron voces de miedo, pero enseguida Jesús les habló diciendo, tened ánimo, yo soy, no temáis. Entonces le respondió Pedro y dijo, Señor, si eres tú, manda que yo vaya a ti sobre las aguas. Y él dijo, ven. Y descendiendo Pedro de la barca, andaba sobre las aguas para ir a Jesús, pero al ver el viento fuerte, tuvo miedo y comenzándose a hundir, dio voces diciendo, Señor, sálvame.
Verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, He was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me.
Pedro era un hombre de disposición, listo para la cosa del Señor.
Peter was a man who was disposed to do what the Lord wanted him to do.
Él decía, aunque esto te nieguen, yo no te negaré.
He said, if all the rest deny you, I won't deny you.
Y en un momento no pudo soportar y agarró un hierro.
And then he got into a position where he is afraid.
Y le cortó una oreja. Le cortó la oreja.
And he cut off the ear of a servant.
Él no le tiró a la oreja, le tiró al pescuezo. Él no le tiró a cortarle la oreja, sino al pescuezo, posiblemente. Pedro quería mochar el pescuezo.
Oh, he didn't cut off his neck, he cut off his ear.
El Señor desvió el hierro.
And the Lord directed the
Esa sword. No era la voluntad del Señor.
That wasn't the will of the Lord.
Que él peleara por él.
That he would fight like that.
Pero una cosa, hermano, podemos ver en esta escritura.
But something we can see in this scripture.
Que era un hombre de disposición.
He was a man that was disposed to do.
Listo para la obra del Señor.
He was ready for the Lord's use.
Pero él tuvo un fallo.
But he had a little failure.
Señor, si tú eres, dijo, permite que yo vaya a ti sobre las aguas.
He said, Lord, if it is you,
y habían fuerte ola.
Let me go to you on the water.
Y habían fuerte ola.
And there was big waves.
Difícil caminar en el agua aún no haya aún mansa, ¿no?
It would be hard for us to walk on the water even if it was calm.
Mucho menos si está embravecido el mar.
Much less when it was stormy on the sea.
Bien, tenía fe y dijo, Señor, si tú eres, permite que yo vaya a ti sobre las aguas.
And he said, if it is you, Lord, bid me come to thee on the water.
29, y él dijo, ven.
29, and he said, come.
Descendiendo Pedro de la barca, andaba sobre las aguas para ir a Jesús.
When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus.
Todo camina bonito, todo está bien.
All was going well.
Hay un fallo.
But there was a failure.
Pero, versículo 30. Pero al ver el fuerte viento, tuvo miedo y comenzó a hundirse, dio voces diciendo, Señor, sálvame.
But in verse 30 it says, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me.
¿Qué pasó?
What happened?
Él va caminando bien.
He was going good.
¿Sabe qué pasó?
You know what happened?
Él se puso a mirar los fuertes vientos.
He began to look at the strong winds.
Y quitó la vista al Señor Jesús.
And took his eyes off the Lord Jesus.
Yo no sé si a usted le ha pasado, pero a mí me ha pasado lo mismo que a Pedro.
I don't know if it's happened to you, but it's happened to me, the same as to Peter.
He ido caminando bien.
I was walking well.
Pero me he puesto a observar los fuertes vientos, las pruebas y las tribulaciones que nos vienen.
Then I started to look around at the strong winds that were blowing.
Y he comenzado a hundirme.
And I started to sink.
Y nosotros decimos en nuestro país, cuando tiene el agua, el pescuezo. Cuando tenemos el agua.
We have a saying in our country, when you get up to your neck in water.
Entonces, que clamamos al Señor Jesús.
Then we cry to the Lord.
No conviene ponernos a mirar los fuertes vientos y quitar la vista al Señor.
It's not good to take away the vision from the Lord and start looking at the problems around.
Porque podemos comenzar a hundirnos.
Because we might start to sink.
¿Y qué cosa? Vamos a tener que clamar al Señor. Señor.
And then we will have to cry to the Lord. Lord.
Sálvame.
Save me.
No voy a leer la escritura, no tenemos tiempo, pero vemos una mujer que estaba enferma con flujo de sangre y había gastado todo lo que tenía.
There's another story of a woman who had a flow of blood and she had spent all she had.
Y ya no tenía dinero.
And she didn't have any more money.
Por fin dijo.
And at the last she said,
yo sé que solo con tocar el borde del vestido del Señor seré sana.
If I can only touch the border of his garment, I will be well.
Lo intentó.
And she tried to.
Escondido por la espada del Señor, le tocó su vestido.
And behind, she touched his garment.
Y ella fue sana.
And was healed.
Qué pena que nosotros dejamos a veces al Señor para último.
What a sorrow it is that we leave sometimes the Lord to the last.
Especialmente cuando hay algo de plata.
Especially when we have some money in the in our
confiamos
pockets.
Más en el hombre que en el Señor.
We are trust more in men than we do in the Lord.
No sé si a usted le ha pasado, pero a mí me ha pasado eso.
I don't know if that's happened to you, but it's happened to me.
Pero algunos hermanos en mi país,
some brethren in my country,
dicen yo no quiero médico, mi médico mío es el Señor Jesús.
I don't want a doctor, my doctor is the Lord Jesus.
Así decía un hermano allá, entre muchos decía uno.
One of the brothers said that in my country.
Y no iba al médico.
And didn't go to the doctor.
¿Sabe cuántos años duró?
You know how many years he lasted?
99 años.
99 years.
Esto no es un ejemplo bueno.
That's not exactly a good example.
No es pecado ir al médico.
It's not a sin to go to the doctor.
El pecado está más bien en que confiamos más en el hombre que en el propio Señor Jesucristo.
It's not, it's to have more faith in the doctor than it is in the Lord Jesus.
En nuestras debilidades.
In our weaknesses.
Que el Señor tenga misericordia de nosotros.
May the Lord have mercy on us.
Y nos conceda confiar más en Él.
And give us to trust more in Him.
Muchas gracias.
I'm going to take the opportunity, brethren, just to say a few more words that are in my heart and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We are getting down to the very end, brethren. I think we are all aware of the fact that at any moment the Lord may come. At the beginning of this meeting, Brother Robert read those verses at the end of chapter 4. Of 1 Thessalonians, that speak of what could take place at any moment. The rapture. And for the rapture, there is absolutely no sign to indicate its closeness. It could take place at any moment. But if you go to chapter 5, you'll notice it speaks of the second part of the Lord's second coming, what we call the revelation or the manifestation. Sometimes the appearing, but those three words speak of that time when the Lord will come at the end of the great tribulation, and we've had that focus quite strongly in these meetings, that too is our hope. We look for the Lord to come to set things straight in this world. There is really no other answer to this world's woes. And for that part of His second coming, there are multitudes of signs. Some of them we're starting to see today. Wars, rumors of wars, pestilences, diseases, those that rise up saying, I am Christ. Those are all signs that we are getting down to the end. And it's there for us to awaken us. And we have some pretty strong exhortations in this chapter. Let's just read a few verses here. It says, of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly. The day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. The day of the Lord is when the Lord Jesus comes out of heaven to establish His kingdom, and He comes into this world, and He establishes His lordship in this world. It's a day that lasts 1,000 years through what we call the millennium, and ends up with the passing away of this world. This world is going to melt with fervent heat, and the heavens are going to disappear as well. But that day is going to come as a thief in the night. We who are believers in the Lord Jesus do not wait for the Lord as a thief. This always refers to His coming at the end of the great tribulation, not the rapture. For those who do not want Him to come, For those that do not wait for him, he will come as a thief when they least expect him. Oh, how solemn the days we are living in. How does this reflect on us then? Verse 4 shows clearly that he's not coming for us as a thief. Ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That verse 9 is one of the best verses in Scripture. There are others to show that the believer in the Lord Jesus, the true believer, will not go through the tribulation. God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Very clear. But, brethren, the reflection of Scripture here in view of the fact that that day is coming rapidly on this world. Two things. Let us not sleep. Let us watch and be sober. Two things. Sleepiness and drunkenness. Not talking in the physical matter of sleep or drunkenness. We know those drunkenness is wrong for a believer. Physically too. But we're talking about it in a spiritual way. What is sleepiness? Somebody who is asleep is not alert. There's somebody sleeping on the floor. I say, "Hey, you. Is he going to answer me?" No. What's wrong? He's asleep. And it's evident sometimes, brethren, that for our own interests, our own business, our own home, our own family, we're very alert. But for the things of the Lord, His interests, we're not very alert. What does that mean? I really think we need to realize that that means we are asleep. And you know, sleep has a way of creeping up on you. It's happened to me. Especially when I'm going on long trips. Especially when I'm alone in the car. Don't have anybody to talk to. And maybe I've eaten a meal. And get back on the road and the hum of the road. Just little by little, that sleep creeps over you until I've had my head drop like that at times. That's dangerous business. Be driving when you're that way. Brethren, sleep has overtaken many of us. And I'm not pointing the finger at any particular person here. The Spirit of God indicate to us if we are asleep. We're living in a world where there are opportunities that abound to use for the Lord. Use our means. You know, the money of the United States is going down the tubes as to value. You going to wait for a while until it loses more value before you use it for Him? May the Lord exercise this as to the needs there are in this world. And to use not only our money, but our time, our energies in things that will be forever for that coming day of glory. I was talking to a brother in the Lord in Lawrenceville, Illinois, where we live. He used to be the president of the bank where I did some business. Nice believer. Not gathered the Lord's name, but He says, I lost 40% of all my investments in 1 week. Not too bad. But if we're invested in this world, what can we expect? The Lord exercises. I think the Lord has allowed these things to happen so that we will wake up. Young people, use your energies. I marvel at the potential you have. Going to use it for the benefit of some earthly company? I'm not saying it's wrong to work. Do your work heartily as to the Lord. But do it in view of that coming day of glory. Jesus is coming back to this world. He's going to reign supreme from sea to sea. The whole system of this world's order is going to be completely changed. And are we living in view of that day? Or are we living of some time of earthly comfort we want to have down here? I suggest, brethren, that we need to wake up. And I trust you understand. I'm not saying that to you only. I'm saying it to my own heart. It comes as a tremendous challenge. When I hear in other parts of the world of the opportunities there are in China where there are believers crying for teaching of the Word of God, I suggest that some of these young brothers here would be able to teach them the Word of God. I say sometimes myself, I don't know that awful much, but I know more than they have had the privilege of being taught. And that what I've been taught, I'm responsible to pass on to others. The Lord help us to be awake. But there's another matter here, it's soberness, and soberness is in contrast with drunkenness. What do we mean when we talk about drunkenness in a spiritual sense? It's being under the influence of present things. It could be a business. Brother Bill was talking about sports. You under the influence? Nothing wrong with playing a ball game. But if you get under the influence where that commands your life, and it's a question of your sports or a meeting where you know the Lord Jesus is going to be present, is sports more important to you? Are you under the influence? It could be business, it could be any number of things. Let's stop and take inventory of our lives. Let's think, what is it that controls my life so that I cannot really give to the Lord those things that He clearly indicates in His Word that we should give Him? So those are things, brethren, we need to be awakened as to them. He says, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. I'd like to go down in this chapter a little bit further to the exhortations we have towards the end. To me, they are so beautiful and important in our Christian lives. Let's just speak of the exhortations. We have quite a few exhortations here from verse 14 on. We exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded or the faint-hearted. Support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all. The Lord help us to do good. That's a big part of the Christian life. now that we are believers in the Lord Jesus. We're not saved by good works, but we are saved to do good works. Strong. It's interesting how often in Scripture good works are mentioned. Verse 16, rejoice evermore. Somebody has noticed in Scripture that there are two verses in the Bible with only two words in them. The other one's in the English translation anyhow. It's in John chapter 11, Jesus wept. It's nice to put those two verses together. Jesus wept. Rejoice evermore. Oh, brethren, Scripture doesn't give us an option on this. Doesn't say rejoice if you can. No, it says rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Just as if the first time he said it, I don't know if it got through to you. Did you listen? And the joy Scripture speaks about is not just a superficial joy. It's that deep joy in the soul that Bill was speaking about the Lord Jesus had in his life way here. He is the man. Even though he is the man of sorrows, he rejoiced in spirit even when he was rejected. That's the joy that should be yours and mine in the Christian pathway. Pray without ceasing. Oh, prayer, brethren, is such a tremendously important part of the Christian life. Pray unceasingly. You know, in our hurried lives, it seems like we tend to be careless as to having time alone with God. Pray. And the Lord prayed, often went out early in the day, and was alone with God, his Father, before he started the day. I really have found in my own life that there have been times when I haven't taken time to pray like I ought. And you know, it's like you're spinning your wheels all day long. You can't seem to get anywhere. Wouldn't it be far better to take a little time of quiet in the presence of the Lord so that our efforts would amount to something? Still remember Martin Luther said, I have so much work to do every day. I dare not take any less than 3 hours to pray. The Lord help us, brethren, encourage us. There's prayer in the individual circle. Knowing what it means to have a closet, a place where you can be alone with God, to shut out the other influences. It's a tremendous privilege. There's prayer in the family. You know what it means to pray as a family? I found that a real blessing. And then there's prayer in the assembly. Oh, what a privilege to get together to pray too. Pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Give thanks. When things go wrong, give thanks. Maybe I've told this story before, but it was an impression. It left its impression on me one time in Bolivia. We were in the city of Oruro, and I was saying goodbye to that old brother, Lino Bueno, at the train station, and came back to my Jeep with another Bolivian brother that was with me. We got back to the Jeep, we found that somebody had gotten into my Jeep and stolen my briefcase. All my personal documents were gone. Kind of standing there in a little bit of shock, the Bolivian brother says, "Let's thank the Lord." You don't exactly think about thanking the Lord right then. But let me tell you, brethren, it was a real lesson to me. We thank the Lord. Even then, and through a series of circumstances I can't tell you right now, at the end of the day, I had my briefcase back in my hands. I can't believe it. That it happened, the Lord put it right back with all the documents in it. I was missing the money and missing some other items that weren't too important to me. But, brethren, let's give thanks in everything. Not only in everything, but it says in Ephesians 5, giving thanks for all things. Not only in all things, but for all things. Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Verse 19, quench not the Spirit. Spirit of God dwells in you if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus. And why is he there? He's there to guide you. Don't quench the Spirit. May the Lord help us in these exhortations. Despise not prophesying. You know, sometimes we don't like to listen to a particular brother. Remember when I was younger? I traveled quite a bit with Brother Clem Buchanan. And one time I said to him, after a particular meeting, when that brother speaks, I just can't listen very well. He looked at me and he said, "Despise not prophesying." You listen to him anyway. Even though you don't like that particular brother that much, God may be saying something to you in what he says. That was a very helpful word for me in my life as a believer. But it doesn't say that we are to accept everything that is prophesied. No. We're to be smiths, like Brother Michelle said. Prove all things. Check it out. That's why you got your Bible open. Is that what it says? Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And just before we close, brethren, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That evidently is the rapture that speaks of there. Faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. Isn't it wonderful, brethren, to depend on his faithfulness? Can I trust in my own faithfulness? Not for a minute. That's what Peter did. He got them into trouble. Can't trust in our own faithfulness. There's one faithful. And he will do it. That's what Scripture says. Wonderful. But the desire of the apostle is that we may be preserved blameless. Spirit, soul, and body. We are made in the image and likeness of God. God is triune, and we are triune. Spirit, soul, and body. The spirit is the God-conscious part of our being. The soul is the self-conscious part of our being. And the body is the world-conscious part of our being. So we are in all aspects. His desire was that we would be preserved blameless. There are things in this world that contaminate on the spiritual level. Be careful what you get into, young people. Older ones too. There's contaminations for the soul. If you turn on the TV and watch it without any control, let me tell you, there's lots of contamination. Not only the TV. The internet. Be careful what you're watching there. The Lord might come at any moment and he catches you watching that stuff. Be careful. The apostle's desire is that you would be preserved blameless, spirit, soul, and body. There are things that contaminate even the body. And the apostle's desire was that we would be preserved blameless, spirit, soul, and body to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us, dear brethren. Let's pray. Father, bless thy precious word. How little we say to enhance it. No, Lord, it's thy word that is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Bless it, we pray, in our hearts and souls today. Commend the rest of the day in thy hands in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.